Welcome to our latest podcast episode of Pearls and Swine. We've got Levi, Nathaniel, and myself from Evangel. The topic for today is civility. If you've paid any attention to any of the political news lately and the banter that goes back and forth between that, you'll see that we don't have a lot of civility right now in our country. So
I don't know if it's just in our country, like on news outpost or not. I think it's even just a cultural moray at this point, that it's a part of our ethos that people speak in such a way to each other where they place themselves in authority. Like, you know, when a 20-year-old comes and tells me how life should be and how I'm wrong, I struggle with that a little bit. Not that they don't have insights into life, but they've lived and breathed for 20 years. And so there's a struggle, I think, within our culture to understand even really just levels of authority. And I think that's somewhere where our lack of civility comes out of. And then if you don't like something, or you don't agree with someone, you don't have to play by any rules. You just start calling them out, like, on personal things. And that, I think, becomes really kind of the part that really our culture is struggling with, is the personal attacks or the lack of civility in that.
Yeah, the first part of that, I mean, I can think back to 20-year-old me. I know your role. Like, I knew my role, and there were things like, I might think something, but my mama taught me you shouldn't always say what you think. And yeah, you deal with some of that, and you see some of that coming out, and like, just because I'm going to keep it real and I'm going to say what I think no matter what. That's, I see that a lot.
It's fine if you're a rap song, but yeah. It's not.
What do you think, Funkmaster Nate?
I'm still stuck on when he said ethos. I love that term. Well,
it was my word of the day.
Got it in. Points for you. Yeah, I was just thinking through, you know, Jesus's, I don't know if it's necessarily a call to civility, but just a recognition, like the way in which you treat other people, you're going to be treated, right? And so don't be surprised if you're name calling, you're going to be called names, right? And Jesus said it a little bit differently, but I think this is one of our culture's favorite verses, right? Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. But Jesus is meaning more here. He says, he continues on, forgiven, you'll be forgiven. Given, it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And what he's saying there is essentially how you do things, how you live your life will be how people treat you. And so when people say this idea, oh, do not judge lest you be judged and all that stuff. And yet in the same token, like half the time they go around then like being mean or calling people racist or whatever. Like, okay, if that's our principle, if tolerance is truly our principle, we need to be tolerant. We need to listen to one another.
Yeah, I think there's a – I'm not sure the word – I wouldn't use tolerant, but because I think that's a hot-button word in our culture. But I think that there's a difference between you saying I have to call something good that is actually evil.
Sure.
And me going, okay, I see where you're coming from, or I'm at least going to listen to you and then share – you know, like, this is where I'm at with this, or this is how I see the world. And you don't have to attack the person in order to do that. This was back in 2016 in the Trump election. This lady, she didn't vote for Trump. She voted against Trump. I was watching this happen on Facebook. The one lady who didn't vote for Trump posted this thing about immigration, and the other lady was, her platform was abortion, and she basically called the lady, you're not a Christian. Neither one of them were really listening to each other. And, you know, obviously we talked about this in other podcasts, like maybe Facebook is not the place to have that conversation, but you saw like right away it was throat punching. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a part of our culture. It's about winning, not about having a civil conversation where there's politeness and there you can be courteous to each other. I was watching an old CNN program, and it was the George Hubert, George H. Bush, not George W. What's his name?
George Hubert Walker Bush.
There you go.
Something like that.
Yeah, he was in, and who was the guy who's running against the Democratic guy? I can't even remember. It's been so long.
Bill Clinton?
No, it wasn't Bill Clinton. It was a different guy.
Oh, before that?
Yeah.
Dukakis?
Yeah, it was Dukakis. And so
Michael Dukakis.
That's right. And so they're in this whole conversation, and they totally disagree with each other. And Bush goes, he says, my fellow mate over here, he believes in the same thing. We're going in the same direction, but we don't believe the same thing of how to get there. But he's a good man. And there was this level of civility that you would never see in politics today. But I also think you would never see that in our culture. Like, this person may think different, how we're going to get to the same place. We both love America or whatever. But how we get there may be different. We just go for the throat punch right away.
Yeah. There's no, like, taking off your glove and smacking it across the other guy's face and saying it's time to duel anymore. There's none of that civility kind of stuff anymore. Politics is crazy, though, when it comes to this civility issue, because we see none of it. There's not in any way, shape, or form where you can have a discourse between each other and have a disagreement that leads into any kind of attempt at mutual understanding of the other side by either party.
Yeah, because I think Levi's right in this idea, like, we're trying to win, right? And so anything that happens, any topic that could be perceived as useful for moving someone forward in power politically, it's politicized, right?
Right.
And so – and that's part of our thing. Is that the way we want our society to actually look like and to be run? Like,
but it's only in certain arenas, right? Like, we still have sportsmanship is a big deal when our kids play sports. You still line up after the game and shake hands and say good game. We still see that.
Well, it's been a shift. Remember the Bad Boys of Detroit? Like, I do Bill Laimbeer. Those were the glory days of the NBA.
Was it
no civility in the NBA, but there was civility in society.
Yeah. But I mean, like, we're still going to try to teach our kids that, and we're going to see it in different realms. Like, you're not going to go to school and knock the kid out next to you because his locker banged into yours. Like, we still don't think that's okay. So why can't we have that in the political realm too? Why is that the arena where it's okay to take that verbal throat punch at somebody, whether it's Facebook or in a conversation or even the physical altercation? Because we've seen how those rallies and stuff go too. Why is that arena, do you think, seem to be the one that it is okay to just keep it real?
I think it's hard though when people are coming at you, right? Like, in our society, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you're suspicious of Christians. Like, what is the evangelical doing? You're suspicious of religion, and Christians are, like, no longer a part of the solution, people think, and we're actually the problem. And so you categorize people into a certain place, and there's no longer this listening or this conversation that can have this just like, hey, we're fellow humans. We're all trying to figure this thing out. And so as Christians, one of the things that the Bible talks about is being countercultural, being not the same as. And one of the things that I think we have to do is to not be you may believe politically this way, or you may believe in a different lifestyle, or you may have opinions, but how you actually treat people, it can't come out of your own selfish ambition or vain conceit, like that you think that you're smarter than everyone else. Rather, it needs to come out of a love for people, our comments and how we interact with people, and that humanity, just because God created them, has intrinsic value.
So I want to bounce back to that tolerance thing that you were talking about. Really, it's not tolerance. It's respect out of love for your fellow human. And I think if people could deal with issues where I mean fundamentally hardcore disagree with you, but we don't have to be tolerant. We have to be respectful based out of love, especially as Christians.
Well, an understanding of tolerance, though, like, tolerance doesn't mean, like, you have to affirm what other people believe, does
but
it?
That's today's definition, wouldn't you think?
Well, classical definition of tolerance is essentially, you're a human, I'm a human, this is what I think, this is what you think, awesome. Like, we're not going to punish each other. You're going to be allowed to, you know, make your living and that kind of thing. You're going to allow me to make a living and do my thing.
But classical definitions and the nuances of words, they change all the time. And it doesn't mean that any longer in our culture.
Take it back.
Yeah.
Take it back.
Well, that's the crazy thing. Like, people get all bent out of shape if you don't say Merry Christmas. Christians often do. Like, Merry Christmas. People will say Happy Holidays. And they think, well, this is me loving Jesus. I got to take a stand. Well, maybe that's not the one you want to take a stand on. I don't know. There's reasons why people are saying that, and that's not the one. That's not a hill I'm going to die on. I'm probably going to say Merry Christmas to you, but I'm not going to die on that hill if, you know, this person over there says Happy Holidays. I think being respectful of people. If someone said to me, you know, my preferred pronoun is she, and it's definitely, but I'm not going to go and be just like, nope, I'm going to call you a dude. Like, if we're having a conversation, like, I'm not going to do that, because that, I think, is civility to them. I'm also, like, on something like this, I'm going to say, I do think it's not good for our society to do this. That's my opinion on it.
And that's where, as people of faith, you have that opportunity. That's not a hill to die on for our own sake. Maybe it is. I mean, it's everybody's got to make that choice between them and God. But if you're actually trying to love other people, and you're going to disrespect them, not care about them, throw them under the bus, trash their name, their character, that doesn't bode well for the way everybody else is going to look at Christianity. It's not helpful to the gospel.
Well, I think it's the placing ourselves above other people.
Mm-hmm.
There's still whether you agree with that other person, whatever their claim is or not, they're still created in the image of God and they have value. Your opinion might be correct and it might be biblical and it might be all of those things. But if you're not going to love those other people, what is the passage that talks about you're just like a resounding gong? You're just going off on these things. It's not helpful. On the same level, like, how do you, and this is one of the things, how, when somebody's attacking you, how do you keep it civil?
Resident expert Nathaniel Marsh, chime in, because I'm not good at it.
I typically try to hear where the person's coming from. You know, what is the thing that's gotten them, you know, really been out of shape? What is maybe the value that they're trying to defend or whatever, and see if there's some way I can find some common ground or show them respect and show them that, yeah, I'm hearing, I'm listening to what they're saying. I might not agree with them. Maybe there's something that they are offended by what I did and I don't agree with them. Well, I can still listen to them and hear them out and give them that respect. But in the end, I don't need to also agree with their position. And so, you know, I think part of that, if someone's coming at you, it's showing them respect by just listening. We've already said that people need to listen a lot more than speaking. And the Bible talks about that too, shockingly, right?
Right.
That's why my default
slow to speak and quick to listen. Or
James 1:19. Yeah. Just over and over. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to becoming angry, until I'm just like, what were you saying? And that helps.
Yeah. I had an interesting conversation with a guy a couple days ago. We had exchanged messages, not on Facebook, but it was a private message. He had posted an article, and I just didn't really agree on his position, but I was trying to sort through it. And I really actually did want to hear his take on things, because there were obviously, everyone has opinions on politics and whatever. But we had this really actually civil conversation about it. And I understood for the first time what he was actually talking about. His post did nothing for me. I just thought he was, you know, way off his rocker in one sense and not reading the thing correctly. He was reading it differently than I. But once we had this conversation, I understood for the very first time what he was actually saying. And so we weren't actually that far apart. That was number one. The thing that he was arguing is character matters. And it was with Trump. Like, and I think if we're honest, and what he kept saying is, people need to be honest that the character of Trump is not all that biblical at times. And yet the platform of Trump, and this is his words, the platform of Trump, I could see how people would get there, that it is, you know, what we would want for the country. And I thought it was a really just an interesting take on that. It is that the person over the platform. And we had a really great conversation on that.
Yeah. And I think when you can sit down and have those conversations, it's so much better than the posts on Facebook, right? Where people are trying to speak in sound bites and little cliches and things like that and trying to get their zingers in. It's not really helpful. Having those dialogues and just picking each other's brains and just saying, hey, I really want to know your position. Because at the very least, maybe if I don't agree with it, I'll kind of understand my position a little bit better and understand why I'm committed to it. And so, yeah, just giving each other that respect.
And that's why we talked about the social media not being that platform. That's just a soapbox for us to spout off about whatever we want to. Right. And with that stuff, like, there's places to be able to have those civil conversations. And, you know, many people are quick to be offended. And we don't actually check in like you did with your friend to be like, hey, can we actually discuss this and sit down and talk about it? I think if people started doing that, it would go a long way making steps towards civility. I don't think civility is lost. I think there's hope that it could be there.
Yeah, I think that there's some, like in American culture, I think we can all agree that American culture has become more and more secularized.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, as Christians, like, we're planted here to be salt and light in this thing. But it doesn't necessarily mean just taking stands on certain issues. Sometimes it means that. But oftentimes it means having a conversation of like, here's where our heart is. This is what we're thinking. This is why we may not agree with you. In that same conversation, I think he learned was it wasn't – I didn't actually disagree with him in many things. It's just I prioritized something different than he did. It was a really great conversation, but it took some civility and some humility also on both of our parts to go, okay, let's just sit down, have lunch together, and hang out. And you can't do that with every conversation, but I think we can all admit that the Facebook – like no one's ever changed my mind by putting like, here's an article about my particular issue. And I went, oh, good golly, you're right. Like, you know, I think we've already have our preformed ideas and our preconceptions before we ever read those things.
It's our soapbox. I mean, right. We're there to tell everybody else how it is.
Right. Well, if Facebook functioned how it was supposed to function, just like connecting people, like, hey, I haven't seen you in 20 years. How's life type thing? I think it would be much better than its current state of foolishness.
I guess I'm going to have to stop posting all those articles that I'm reading to people, huh?
Yes.
Okay. I get it now. Thanks, guys. Thanks for this intervention.
So I think one of the things that even with people who don't agree, how are you civil with your wives? Because I think all of us can go, oh, yeah, our wives are often people that lead us to incivility. So how do you practice that and listen to them even when there's times where I'm like, you're just flat out wrong and we're at a stalemate in this thing. How do you still practice civility?
Yeah. And also often like with your wife, you have this commitment to love each other and sometimes you feel like, well, then I'm free to say whatever. I can just share exactly how I'm feeling about this with you and how I feel about you at this very moment. And there can be a lack of civility in that too. And so sometimes it helps to just be like, okay, calm down. Take a breath. I don't need to share absolutely all of my feeling at this moment on this particular thing, but I need to try to communicate what's important to me in this matter and try not to like make the conversation much more of an argument, much more of a conflict than it needs to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got to take the fact and the feeling and kind of sift through those and separate them out, especially if it's something that you feel fired up about or passionate about, because that's just a nicer way to say that I'm very angry about what I'm about to tell you. I'm passionate about it. But just kind of filter through that and figure out like, okay, where am I just trying to – here's my facts versus here's my feelings. That's a good way, to look at it, especially with your spouse. Women just operate differently and think through things differently than we do. Which is probably a good thing a lot of times.
And that's not to say that feelings don't matter, right?
Right.
Sometimes feelings are a very important part of the whole conversation. yeah, because maybe feelings got hurt and
yep.
things weren't done or said or whatever in a way that communicated the love that should have been. But yeah, so all about the respect, man.
Respect.
Yeah, I think with my wife, there are times where there are things that she is trying to communicate that are under the surface that I'm too dumb to understand. Like, there's more to it than that. And so I think really asking questions and even having the skills to go, this is what I think you're saying, or I'm not really tracking you, and being humble enough. And a lot of civility comes down to humility. The Bible over and over talks about humility. And
did you come up with that on your own? That's good.
Yeah.
That's a lot good. Of civility comes down to humility.
Like, absolutely.
It does. Flow to it and rhymes even.
Yeah. Yeah. So
give him a beat, Nate.
Yeah, no.
Boom, boom.
What is wrong with you two? Like, even Jesus, like, I mean, he could have done a ton of different things in the midst of it, and yet he chose humility. Chose humility to go to the cross. He's on the cross, and he's like, God, he's praying to the Father, and he's like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't understand what they were doing, even though they were killing the Savior of the world, the one who had never committed sin. He didn't deserve any of that, and yet he was still humble enough to be civil with them.
I think we got it covered.
So practice humility, and you will also practice civility. That is good news you can use.
Peace.